blessing of going to, took our school staff to a training in nearby Columbus, Ohio, and got to travel over there. And every year they have a kind of like a little commercial for their student regional convention. And their tagline with that is, where 1 week can change a lifetime. They want you to send your kids to that and say, why don't we do that? Well, if you really want, I could explain it to you, but I was thinking about that as I was sitting there, and that's what I love about Missions Conference. Because it's, it's, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 days. But it could change the entire course of your life. So, Pastor Russo, what are your expectations of this week? I mean, I heard food. I'm excited. I just want to, you know, get through international dinner without food poisoning. I like the floor. I like the tables. I'm interested in meeting some new people. But what are you thinking is happening this week? Well, William Carey said this. Expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. So I expect God to do great things. In your heart, my heart. Who knows what this week is going to change? Maybe it'll just give us a greater, not just, but maybe we'll walk away with a greater burden for the lost. And if it did just that, then what a great week. But maybe someone, maybe a young person, maybe a couple, maybe a family, maybe a church would somehow impact outside of these city limits for eternity. Maybe the Lord would lead us to take another missions trip and He'd show us this week where we to go. Maybe it's a young person that surrenders her life to God, however it is, wherever you want me, whatever I want to, and they give their life over to the Lord in every way. Maybe it's a couple that comes and says, I know where we should go. Maybe it's you opening up your pocketbook and shutting off the internet at the house, or canceling a bill, or taking a little less time over at Starbucks each and every week, and you say, we're going to give the missions this year. My expectation is that whatever it is that God wants to do, that we do. That we would be fully involved, every one of us, in some way. As you walk out these doors, you're going to walk through our little kitchen and cafeteria area. And then we have, remember those shutter things that were up here and I brought them in? Well, they didn't make the cut for in here, but we moved them out in the hall and they're decorated nice. And on there are this year's pledge cards. And I ask that you take one and pray about it. Put your name to it and make a commitment to give to missions. Say, I'll just do what I did. You have to write what you just did last year then. Because I want God to tell you each and every year what it is that you ought to do in missions. Maybe your circumstances, I don't want to pick on anybody, but I remember a couple years ago and family said, I give to missions, but it's not a sacrifice. Give of my access. They said a couple years ago, hey, I want to give. That cost me something. There's nothing wrong with that. I just ask that you do what God asks you to do. If it's 50 cents a week, then you give 50 cents a week. If it's nothing and God says, I don't want you to give any money to the missions, well then so be it. You give no money to missions. If He says, I want you to give 90% of your income, then you give 90% of your income. Say, that's not going to work. It'll work if He tells you to. Say, is that what your expectations are? 90%? I want us to do exactly what God wants us to do. Whether it's go get a... How many of you have a passport? Anybody? Good. Whether it's go get a passport and pray over that thing and say, God, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go visit somebody? Do you want me to go do something? Do you want me to travel outside of these walls? Whether it's grab a handful of gospel tracts on your way out and invite your neighbor to church. If it's to read a missionary story each and every night with your child. If it's to open up your pocketbook and put more money in. I want us to do whatever it is that God wants us to do this week. I expect great things from the Lord. I want to attempt great things for the Lord. Mark chapter 6 this morning. Did I tell you anywhere? I just told you to get your Bibles out, right? Everybody's ready. Mark chapter 6. Do you ever get anxious over things? I don't know, maybe the things that bother you are different than the things that bother me. But I want, I was praying last night with some of our men. I was praying with Joe. I was praying, Lord, as we set these sails, that God, you would sweep through here and move us. We'll put the sails up, but it's God that has to move us. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, then I just preach here three times a week, but I get nervous about these things. Mark chapter 6 and verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. We're familiar with the story. A story that maybe we've seen illustrated and played out and taught and preached many a times. The feeding of the 5,000. Let's be careful that we not take a common story and dismiss it. Turn it off. Oh, I've seen this one before. Click. Right? We don't want to do that. Chances are that the Lord has something in the passage for you this morning. Pastor, you make me nervous when you look at the clock. Sorry. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and out went them, and came together unto them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. And the Bible says, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you again for the testimony of Brother Robinson. God, I'm thankful for that missionary. I was sitting maybe in a similar service some many years ago. Maybe as a young person surrendered his life and traveled all the way down to Haiti. By faith, moved his family. Started a church and a school, and Brother Robinson got in. Lord, I pray as you lead him and guide him that he would go back and do the same. That he would make many disciples out of your word, Lord. God, I pray that this morning as we open up your word, and God, that you would have perfect liberty and you'd speak to our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit would have rule and reign over this service. God, I pray that my flesh and my words would be at bay, and I would not say anything that's contrary to your dealings. Lord, help us. Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to please you with all of it. Lord, I pray that you would do, again, do your perfect work in each of our hearts as individuals, as you lead us as individuals, so moves the entire body. Lord, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You understand, we all have a role. We all have a responsibility. And as the Lord touches your heart, it's important that you do that. We have these, do what it is that God has led you to do. We have these carts. I was at a restaurant, kind of, Mrs. K, she was kind of funny. Is she here? Mrs. K told me, she's like, she grabs me by my face and she's like, you're in Hilton now. I'm like, yes, I know that. And she's like, well, you've been traveling a lot. I just wanted to remind you where you were. Yes. Okay. So Friday, we were in Columbus and in a restaurant, and this lady has one of those big food carts, right? And she is fighting with this thing, trying to get this thing around this corner, and you know where you like put a buffet food, and she is pulling that thing. And she's having a rough go. She can't get it around the corner. She can't get it into the door. And I'm standing there. I'm just kind of watching. Another guy comes. He's pushing on the thing. I'm like, man, that looks like a heavy food cart. All of a sudden, she's like, oh, wait a second. Goes over to the one wheel. That one wheel was locked. I looked at that and I thought, huh. Imagine if the whole mass wanted to move and trying to move in a certain direction, and one wheel says, mm-mm, I'm not going. Us as a church would be just like that food cart. May we be sensitive to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. All right, back to Mark. Okay. Jesus, compassion, shepherd. Got it. Okay. Verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. I don't know how you see people. But there's two views here that we're going to see through Jesus of a perspective to people. And Jesus says this, when he looked out and saw the masses, you know what he saw? He saw people that were lost and needing a shepherd. He had, the Bible says, charity, he says the word compassion towards them. You know what that means? He looked out and he saw all of them and he saw, man, this is a great group of people. They got it all together. What a blessing this is. I just love these people. Some of that's true. He looked out and know what he saw? He saw all of their problems. And his heart broke for them. And he had compassion. See, of course, that's how else would you look at that? Well, we could look at it like the disciples did. In verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far spent. Send them away. Jesus looks out and he says, hey, there's a lot of people that have no shepherd that are just wandering here. Let's bring them together and teach them. Christ says, let's come in and bring them. The disciple says, get these people out of here. They're a problem. Well, what's their problem? They're hungry. Ever been around somebody that's hungry? Abby has been introducing this word to, you know, my little daughter Abby, she weighs, you know, 40 pounds wet. And she's like, I'm hangry. I'm like, what's hangry? She's like, I'm so hungry now I'm starting to get angry. Little Abby, sweet little, yeah. Maybe not, exactly. We got a lot of hangry people here. They've been sitting here all day in the hot, what does it say? Desert. Close your eyes and think about a desert. Don't close them too long or else you won't come back. What does it look like? It's hot. It's dry. No natural resources. Not a lot going around. Hey, I'll just go over to this fruit tree in the middle of the desert. No. Oh, I'm sure this cornfield over here can supply all of our needs in the middle of the desert. No. By definition, a desert has none of that. I'm so thirsty. Oh, I'll just go over to this water fountain here in the middle of the desert. No. They've been listening to teaching all day. It's hot. Desert, not a lot of shade probably. And Jesus looks out and says, oh, these people need me. And the disciples look out and go, oh, these people got to get out of here. Send them away. Jesus does the complete opposite. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. He's like, feed them. Feed them? And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And he commanded them to sit down by companies upon the green grass. Maybe their desert's a little bit different than what I'm thinking. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by 50s. So there they are, all nice and organized. Just like this. 50 people, 50 people, and we got a bunch of people. How many people? Well, it's easy when you can count them like that. When he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Now, we've heard a lot about this. We've thought about it. We've tried to make sense of it. We look at that and go, okay, there's 5,000 people there. And we have 5 loaves of bread. It's either one of those 30-foot loaves of bread. We were just at the Hilton Apple Fest, and they made that giant apple crisp that feed 1,000 people. Maybe that's what that little boy brought for lunch that day. Maybe he brought 2 whales. It says fish, it doesn't say... No, but they were little fish. So what do we make sense of this? What sense do we make of this? It was a miracle. And they all did eat, and were filled. So we have hangry people that walk away full. And then he sends the disciples out in verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. They ended with more than they started with. Why 12? Could it be just for each of the disciples to carry a load out? Your lack of faith. Going to cost you something. It's going to be inconvenient. Now you got to carry this heavy basket of food. How many of you, as a young teenage boy, the mom comes home and from shopping and, all right, go out and get the groceries. And what does that boy do? I'm making one trip, right? And they're losing circulation in their fingers because the plastic bags are pulling so tight. The bread comes in and it's now, you know, flat bread and it's no longer... Scrambled eggs, made to order, it's ready. And there they are, the 12 disciples, carrying their baskets around. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Man, what a tremendous story, right? The Lord can satisfy all of our needs. He can meet all of our needs. When we walk away, we are more than satisfied, so much so that we have stuff left over that we can then give out to others. So I come to Jesus hungry, needy. He meets my need, gives me enough, and I walk away with a basket. I come empty to Him. How do I leave? I leave full and enough for everybody around me. And what was my thought? Get rid of these problems. Get rid of these people. Do you know what the word straightway means? In verse 45, it says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. That means they walked out from dinner, and here they are, carrying 12 baskets. The scene. And straightway, immediately, he sends them into the boat. A lot of times when we tell the story of the 5,000, we just stop right there. I want you to pay attention to a word. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he sent them away, what did the disciples want to do with people? Get rid of them? What did Jesus do with the disciples? Hey, go ahead. And he sends them away. He departed into a mountain to pray. I wonder if the Lord does that just to show them. Maybe it will be a little slower to say, send them away from me. Because you experienced some time away from me. All of a sudden they come and they're in the ship. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. So there they are. In their boat. I don't know how big the boat was. It doesn't say. All boats are bad anyways. It doesn't matter. And there they are. Toiling and rowing. These are fishermen by trade and they can't make sense of this storm. Toiling. Fighting against the wind. They're drenched. They're soaked. It's the middle of the night. They look in the boat. What do they got in the boat? They got these 12 baskets full of food. They've probably thrown them over by now. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, this is the middle of the night, the last section of the night, the darkest of night. He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. I like this phrase. And would have passed by them. Passed through. Don't mind me. I'll meet you on the other side. I'm just walking through. How neat would that be? You have to get from point A to point B. Giant lake in the way. Instead of having to go around, you can just walk right through. And so he does. But when they saw him walking by the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. Which we all would agree is the normal response there, correct? There you are in the middle of the night. You're cold. You're wet. You're in the midst of the storm. You can't make any sense of it. You're here because God put you here. And you look out and there's someone walking by the boat. Yes. Yes, I too would have cried out. And yes, I would have described my circumstance as troubled. And immediately spoke with them, and he said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Jesus puts one foot on the boat. All of a sudden it's sunny and 70. Everyone's dripping wet. You know, like one of those major storms that come through, like it just dumps a ton of water, and all of a sudden you're like, what on earth? And then it's all of a sudden sunny again, like typical Rochester weather. Maybe a little rainbow in the clouds, right? Still raining. And they're just sitting there scratching their head going, what on earth just happened? We're toiling, we're in the boat, it's a mess, I thought I was going to die. And then all of a sudden a spirit goes walking by, and for some reason they cried out to it. And he gets in the boat, and it's Jesus, and he comforts them with his words. And just reminding them, hey, just to remind you, it's better with me with you than me not. So let's be a little less quick to just send away our problems, but rather go through them with Christ. Because that was their response to the problem of the 5,000. Let's get rid of them. And Jesus said, oh, okay. Here, I'm going to do a miracle for them, and I'm going to illustrate this lesson to you. That you don't want me to send you away. But the most peculiar verse I find in the passage is verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I wonder, I ask a lot of questions, and I understand, but I think the passage leads to some questions. I wonder, had after they fed the 5,000 and they're looking at the loaves and the all the food and all of that in their baskets. Hey man, is your basket full? Yeah, my basket's full too. Is yours heavy? Yeah, mine's heavy. Where we got? He told us to carry it over to the boat. Man. You know what? I think we messed up back there. Somehow, some way, they forgot who they were with and what the mission was. The mission was to be a blessing and a help to people. They forgot that. They got self-consumed. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. You know what? The Lord has done great things in our life. And the Lord has done great works in our life. And sometimes we get consumed with the storm and we forget about the loaves. And our heart gets hardened towards things. And there's a possibility. Can I tell you one of the greatest dangers of Christianity in our church? I don't know about any other place, but I'm telling you here. Say, lack of finance? No. Apathy. Not caring. Send them away. Shut the door. They're trouble. And the Lord says, kind of like what our dear brother said, but I have what they need. I don't want to go one step without the Lord. Imagine if we stood at the door and said, I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind here. Your situation is too much trouble. Check it at the door. Why don't you go on down the road? I think down the road they have a better ministry, more geared towards your needs. And the Lord says, Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to take a step back from here a little bit. Because you obviously don't care about what I care about. That scares me. That scares me that the 12 disciples that walked everywhere and heard all the preaching and saw the feeding of the 5,000 considered not the feeding of the 5,000 so much so that they hardened their hearts towards the things of God. What would it be like had they not? What would it have been like in that passage? They said, God, you are amazing. Rather than being apathetic, they'd be amazed. And they fall down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, we are sorry. We missed that. I'm sorry. We were thinking only about ourselves and the inconvenience that these people would be. I am sorry. Forgive us. What would it have been like? Would they have been sent away? Would he have put them in the boat and sent them away? Say, well, we would never know because they didn't do that. They lost sight of who they were serving. And they got selfish and they got more concerned about how this would affect them rather than the work of Christ going to others. Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. I want you to see this and we'll be done quickly here. Isaiah chapter 6. A familiar passage again. Five 5,000 hungry people in the middle of the desert. And the disciples said, we would like to send them away. And Jesus says, no, we're going to feed them. And then the disciples for a moment got to experience a little bit of the ministry without Christ. But what would happen had they adjusted themselves? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one with six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, please pay attention. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know what was in front of him? Not just the throne of God, but 5,000 Because he didn't just see God, he saw people too. But he saw people through God's eyes. He was not selfish. He was not self-righteous. He was humble and he said, Lord, forgive me. I am not seeing people how I should. I don't see how I should. And he corrected himself. Something the disciples did not do. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. He got rid of his selfishness. Got rid of his pride. He got rid of his apathy. Lord, I care. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, pay attention. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. We saw some apathetic disciples that said, send them away. Now we see the prophet Isaiah seeing God and people how he ought to see them with the right vision. And he doesn't say send them away. He says send me to them. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And you see indeed, but perceive not. It's not going to be easy. But Isaiah has a new mission now. Isaiah the missionary. To take the word of the Lord to those that quite honestly don't even want to hear it. And we compare this passage with the passage in Mark. And we see a group of apathetic people that forgot what God had done, feeding 5,000 just a moment ago. And their heart was hardened. And their first approach was to get rid of the problem. Hey, would you guys get out of here? You're just a nuisance. And you guys got problems too. And your problem, and your problems. And you know what? Let's just, if you have problems, please just leave. Okay, blank chair. I would like to talk to you about Jesus now. Because I really don't care about you. I care about what I can get out of you. But Isaiah, for a moment, repented of his selfishness and pride and apathy. And the Lord changed him. So much so that Isaiah's desire was no longer that they would be sent away, but that he would be sent to them. So this morning, what's your heart like? Man, I'm so glad for Brother Mooberry. Glad he's going so I don't have to. Thankful for Brother Robinson. Man, 80% voodoo. Country given over to the work of Satan. I'm so glad I live here in... Yeah. Send them. Let's remove our apathy. Let's be careful that we not get hardened and forget the loaves and be sensitive to the mission that God has placed before us. And that we would offer ourselves to be sent. Let's all stand. As our piano player comes, I want you to think about that thought. Where are you at? Say, I'm sitting right here. Yeah, but where's your heart at? Do you see people as the problem? Or do you see Christ as the solution? 5,000 people, there must have been some real good ones in there. It must have been some lost causes, people that wanted to wash their hands of it and done with it. And hey, it would just be easier to just remove this couple from the ministry. Or are we like Isaiah? Lord, I've seen you and I've seen your people and I want to go. Would you send me? I volunteer. Do you see the difference? May we not forget that we came to the Lord hungry. And He sent us away with a basket full. And it'd be a shame if we tossed it over to the side trying to make headway in a storm rather than give it out to those that are around us. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. And Lord, as we consider ourselves in these passages, that God, you would touch our hearts and that we would be sensitive to your leading. And that God, we volunteer our service to you, Lord. God, would you send us? Would you use us? Would you do with us what you will? Would you allow us to be a light in a dark place? Lord, forgive us for getting so self-consumed. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?